This is an Enterprise Times podcast. I'm here with Laurie Ellsworth, General Manager PSA Solutions at Financial Force. Laurie, we're here at Financial Force Community Live today, and we heard this morning Todd Nielsen, the new CEO, talk about how the services economy is really where he believes the different economies around the world are going, very much more to a product service style economy. Part of that solution that Financial Force is obviously a professional services solution. Are we expecting to see a widening out of that into other services organizations as well?
I think as a whole, as you heard this morning, the services economy is about everything as a service, whether it's software, whether it's platform, or service as a service, if you will. And so I think some things will naturally happen. If I think about the primary market I sell to, professional services organizations, there's a natural evolution to a broader view of services, managed services, education services, all starting to fall under the heading of the services that we deliver to our customers to make them successful. So I think you will see a natural extension of how people are leveraging service automation software across a broader set of service disciplines. And then I think as companies evolve to become services companies, things like how are they billing for those different types of services and how are they recognizing all those different types of product and services become even more important.
In professional services organizations themselves, are you seeing any trends specifically around that, different business models and different ways of charging?
Yes, the more traditional professional services are the project-based, we're on-site with customers type implementation services. I think naturally most organizations, their portfolio is evolving to include things like concierge services or remote services where I can buy a set of services and just draw down on them over the year. A little more flexibility in how I can purchase services and how I can use them where and when I need them throughout the year. And then, of course, for many organizations, there's a move to managed services, and professional services and managed services kind of work together to make a customer successful. So that would be the second biggest trend, is interest in a managed services type business.
In terms of the professional services side within Financial Force, do you see that business model changing?
I think what you'll see is that will grow. And we have a very strong partner network that helps us deliver professional services to our customers as well as our own organization. And I think as we grow the organization, you're going to see both grow. We'll certainly, for our enterprise level customers, increase and grow the professional services expertise we have in-house. I wouldn't say it's in exchange of our partner network. It will grow along with it.
And in terms of other trends, you brought out the analytics, people casting. What's the take-up? What's the next evolution of that analytics that you're looking to see? And what are the professional services organizations you're dealing with asking for now?
I would say, first of all, that the take-up has been actually very positive this year. And so the concept, just to simplify people casting, is we understand the demand for your resources. We understand the supply for your resources. And, of course, the gap, you want to understand that gap, be able to predict that gap and look at how to fill it, whether you're developing your own talent or whether you're recruiting new talent or leveraging a partner network. That's a people casting picture. And I think naturally, as customers deploy our solutions, they get their own house in order, they get their data to a positive place, they start to leverage that data to do people casting, which is what we're seeing more and more in this past year. I think the future would be to move to more predictive capabilities where we're able to leverage the current demand and the current supply and produce the current gaps, but also start to look at business trends and opportunity closure and how you're staffing and delivering on projects and start to get a little more predictive in terms of resource requirements in the future and get out in there in front of it for our customers.
Are you looking to Einstein and potentially Watson to be involved within that?
Yes, certainly Einstein, looking at predictive analytic capabilities in areas like Wave that will help us in terms of the user experience delivery, but also Einstein, yes.
And what about IBM Watson and the kind of interface into that?
Yeah, it under discussion as well. Fairly early days for us in terms of working with some of those technologies, but ideally that's what we will deliver for customers. We have this wealth of information about our customers, whether it's their services or the financial aspect of the business or information about their employees. And the goal is really to harness that and deliver on that predictive insight for customers.
And are you looking to deploy that in a sense internally to help your customer experience people? One of the things mentioned on stage is you're not now just looking to deliver to customers to tell them how many licenses they're using, but also telling them how they're using their software and how they can use it better. So clearly that's you guys delivering a better service to your customers. What kind of things are you hoping to deliver on that side?
That's a really good question, and I think that insight is actually informative internally and externally. So to customers first, historically it might be, well, our users are logging in, but now we're looking at usage metrics and being able to provide that scorecard, if you will, to our customers so that they're not only understanding who's logging in, but what they're doing, and they're able to look and say, well, this set of project managers, we anticipate if they're getting strong usage of the product, they would be using the project planner and the project Gantt view and another perspective. So we're able to now start looking at community of users and what parts of the solution they're using. And it should help organizations look at adoption, but also where they should expect ROI and in what time frame. The other side of that coin is when we have that level of usage data, it really helps to inform our product strategy and product direction, because now I can quickly go in and through looking at leveraging Wave to look at the data, I can understand which of my clients are using what parts of the software and then start to dig in as to why they are or are not using that and what I might need to do. So it both helps our customers understand their ROI and helps us direct the product.
And if they're using it heavily, I assume to find out what they're using heavily, why they're using it heavily, and what more they want from it as well.
Yes, it's usage, it's also volume. So I might see that my customers are using project management heavily. Now I want to start to understand what number of projects, what level of task, what's the volume of the business they're running through our solution, because that scale is another aspect that's really important to us. So we want to stay out in front of that.
And how will engagement look if you realize a part of a customer or a customer is not using the solution well? Are you then going to involve the customer experience team to go out and do some evangelizing?
Yes, and that's actually one of the primary roles of the customer success team, is to be working one-to-one with the customer, looking at what they anticipated, what business problems they were trying to solve, and where they're seeing that adoption and return, and where they're not. That's when they bring folks to the table to engage with the customer to understand why and how we can help them move forward more quickly.
Are there any other trends you're seeing inside professional services organizations at all that you think will happen this year or will be asked for this year?
I think probably the biggest one, just from a general marketplace perspective, is the whole convergence aspect. Whereas in the past, you might have had an executive that owned professional services and someone else that owned support services, and maybe you didn't even have a managed services business. They're coming together. In many cases, the future vision would be to share resources across managed services, professional services, and so on. And so that's where I think we're going to start to see a push from our customers to understand how leveraging services automation, but also our financial solutions, can really help to support those disciplines, especially something like managed services.
You're talking more around what I would call agile working and BizOps. Are you familiar with that term?
Do you mean when I say managed services?
In terms of the internal restructuring, there are a number of companies who are leveraging what they call agile working. PwC is one, ING is another, where they're taking what probably used to be called matrix management and elevating it to a new level where they have cross-discipline teams working on projects, not as a sales team delivering something. It's a team to deliver a specific project or function almost within an organization, but still retaining their specialities.
Right. And they might come together to deliver on a project or a service to a customer and then go back to their own geographies or to other projects. So, yeah, I think that would be the goal. Is it's not just we have the team in London that works on projects, but rather what's the service we deliver to the customer? Where in our world, however global that is, do we have the resources that are the right fit? Right cost rate, all those things that you have to consider so that we can quickly and efficiently deliver to the customer.
And that's where people casting comes in, isn't it, in terms of identifying where those resources are on a global organization?
Absolutely. Yep. At the highest level, it's where are my gaps between supply and demand, and then drilling into how do I close those gaps in the right time frame.
And from a technology point of view, do you see any new technologies being implemented more over the next year? You talked about predictive analytics. What about prescriptive analytics?
Probably we're very early in the analytics, predictive or prescriptive analytics, in terms of companies getting out there. So I would say in the next 3 years, companies are going to be looking to advance both of those. Of course, in the services business, I still see mobile as a critically important technology and just looking for more and more capability or that intuitive, easy, while I'm on the road way to get things done in the services business.
Talking around that globalization picture again, are you seeing any market differences across the globe or in terms of the regions you operate in?
I wouldn't say significant differences in pure professional services. There are many companies we work with, whether they're UK-based or US-based, for example, that are doing business on a global scale. So that consistency is there. The countries they're doing business in and practices might be a little bit different. But I think in general, the needs for a services organization and the importance of services and serving the end customer success goal are pretty consistent across the geographies.
What about the competitive landscape out there now for the cloud PSA solutions? How's that looking at the moment?
There's a number of players out there that we run into most frequently. I think if you looked at it purely from the Salesforce ecosystem for a moment, then we are the only cloud ERP player. If you're looking at cloud ERP in general, as you probably know already, we certainly would see NetSuite out there. Workday, in some instances, depending on the scope of what's of interest, not very strong on the PSA side. Those would probably be the primary two cloud ERP solutions we would see.
In terms of the global landscape, you obviously have A-end customers mainly in places like Australia, US, UK. How's your growth across Europe and Asia going?
Today, our primary growth in terms of those two locations would be in Europe. We're not really invested in working in Asia today, other than many of my global customers have resources, of course, in Asia. But in terms of pursuing companies headquartered in that geography, our next wave of growth is really going to be coming from Europe. So as you know, here we started primarily in the UK, but have expanded into Western Europe and starting to build up our presence there. And that's where we would really expect a great deal of our European growth to come from.
Thank you very much, Laurie.
Very welcome. Thank you.